Welcome to the new Divorce Radio Talk Show with your host, Joni Winberg. If you're thinking about getting a divorce, or you're going through a divorce, or are ready to move your life forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We will even help you get back into the dating game. The show will support you, make you laugh, and just be the thing you need to hear at this time in your life. And now, here's Joni.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Divorce View. This is Rosalind Sadaka. I'm a co-host with Joni Winberg, and we're here today, as we are every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, to talk to you about all facets of divorce issues, so that your life is easier, smoother, and more successful as you move ahead and transition after your divorce. I want to tell you a bit about myself. I'm a divorce and parenting coach and founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network for Parents. And Joni, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Absolutely. Welcome, everyone. My name is Joni Winberg. I'm a divorce mentor and a certified human behavior consultant, or as many of my clients say, you know everything about communication. You're the communication guru. And today, Roz, we have a fabulous topic, don't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Go ahead and share that with us.
Absolutely. It's basically, we're going to be talking about three tips at how to keep on laughing and loving even after divorce. Is that possible, Roz, to keep on laughing?
We know that that post-divorce can be a time of transition and challenge, but it also can be a time of wonderful new beginnings in life. And mm-hmm. for many people, it's really one of the happier periods in life. Once you are in motion and you feel that you know where you're going and what you're doing. And we're here to help and coach you through the process. So, yes, laughter is important. Why don't we talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. We're going to talk about how to keep on laughing, because I know we tend to focus a lot on just all the emotions and everything that's going wrong and so forth. But I know sometimes when I say to people, just keep on laughing even after you divorce, and they look at me kind of strange, like, how can that possibly be? How can I be laughing in such an emotional time in my life? But to be laughing is the whole process. I look at it as not to take yourself so darn seriously, especially learn to laugh at yourself. Use humor to lighten up. And that's what I always tried to do, is I tried to lighten up and let go. How about yourself, Roz?
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, it's funny that studies have shown that if you put your face in a smile, just the muscle change in that movement will affect your attitude. So when you're feeling really down and you're in a pity party and life is looking depressing for you, it's good to start making that change. Watch something funny on TV, read something funny, get into a place where you could shift your mindset and realize that this too shall pass. As dark as some of the experiences are, they will pass and there are happier times ahead. But while you're going through it, try to keep your sense of humor and keep your perspective about it, and you'll find yourself more able to laugh and love.
Absolutely. I always say to let go, be silly, learn to be silly again. When we were children, or children naturally just see the humor in things, or they just are silly. I know with my two grandsons who are 3 and 1, when I'm with them, I just forget about everything else in the world. All of a sudden, I'm a little kid again. I'm rolling on the floor with it. I'm wrestling. It's really helped me remember the simple things in life and how I can be silly, and it's okay to do that. In fact, it feels great.
Absolutely. And you know, Joni, that's so important, because such a high percentage of people who are divorcing are parents. And you have the responsibility of being there for your children during and long after the divorce. And so the attitude that you convey is going to be absorbed by your children. And what better reason to try to keep an upbeat attitude and look at things from the brightest perspective that you can, for the sake of the kids, because your kids still need to be loved and to feel loved. And you still need to have joyful times with them, because you don't want them to feel punished because you had a divorce. So it's really important to monitor your attitude and really do your best in keeping life in a flow, and not taking it too seriously is one of the best ways to start.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd like to share a formula. It's setting intentions. And this formula of setting intentions is really designed to help you let go. So first of all, you set an intention. It's not what you want for the outcome. It's how you want to feel. So for example, if you're coming out of a meeting or going into a meeting, setting the intention of describing how you want to feel when you leave. So you set the intention, and then you let it go. Then you just let it go, and then trust, and then watch for evidence. And this works. I have used it many, many years for myself and many, many years with my clients. And I'll share a real quick story here. I actually had a client, it was after her divorce. She was the first time she was going to a party with her friends that they socialized with when they were married. So here she was, a single parent, going to her first time as a social party. So she was telling me all the things she was dreading, how she was going to feel lonely, or will they talk with her, and all these things. And I said, is that how you want to feel when you leave the party? She said, absolutely not. I said, well, tell me how you want to feel. She said, I want to feel happy and excited and accepted and laugh again. And I said, okay, so what you want to do now is just let go and set that intention, and then call me in the morning and tell me what happened. And she said, oh my goodness, this really, really works. That's exactly what happened. I felt accepted and happy, and I was laughing. So setting intentions is a fabulous formula. Set that intention how you want to feel, let go, trust, and then watch the evidence of it happening. Have you ever tried that, Roz?
Yes, I have. And you know, Joni, there's no better time to try it than when you're having times when you're connecting with your ex. And maybe you're having a conversation about something coming up with the kids. Mm-hmm. And those can be meetings that are filled with anxiety or tension or various levels of discomfort. And it's really good if you set the intention about how you're going to feel coming away, feeling empowered, feeling confident, feeling that you created a win-win outcome, then you're much more likely to have that actual experience. So it's a great tool to be using for specific things like that.
Absolutely. And if you find that you might not remember, write it on a post-it note. Put your intentions, you can set as many intentions as you would like during any, you know, one day or however many you want. But if you need to remind yourself of what your intentions were, write it on a post-it note. So that's tip number one, Roz, to let go, be silly, don't take yourself so darn seriously.
A good one.
Okay.
You tell us.
Oh, okay. So number two is to focus on what's working and build on that. As human beings, whether you're going through a divorce or not, we seem to focus on other people's quirks and all the things that are going wrong in our life, I call it negative energy. So focus on what's working, no matter how tough a situation may be. Find that silver lining somewhere. And I do that as such a habit for me. People say, you find something good about everything. And I said, it's something I taught myself. It's a tool. But once you get into that mindset, it's amazing how you automatically look for something that's working or something good.
And it's so important when you're dealing with challenging situations. So that's a really great tool. We really have come to understand, and so many studies have proven, that what we focus on manifests in our lives and comes to be, and what we resist persists. So too often in our culture, we think and we focus on what we don't want, and we worry and we stew and we just create more and more of what we don't desire, and we don't realize that we're really being counterproductive. So by looking for the best possible outcome and focusing on that, focusing on what you desire to see, even if it seems impossible, you're putting forth energy that's helping to make that happen. And it can only do something positive for you. We've all been in the other side of the equation when we've just gotten so down and in desperation and depression over a situation and worry more and more and more about it, and it's a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. So it really makes sense to find what works and be grateful for it.
Absolutely. Being grateful, that switches my switch, so to speak. That shifts so quickly for me when I'm focusing on what's working right or what I'm grateful for. And I remember when I first got divorced, it was tough. There were emotional nights. You might be crying yourself to sleep or whatever. And I thought, okay, I have to focus on what I'm grateful for. And I remember one night saying, I'm grateful for this warm comforter. That's how tough things might have been or how emotional it might have been at that time.
Yeah, so it can be challenging sometimes to find things to be grateful for, but I've found that focusing on gratitude has made some of the biggest shifts in my life. I've heard that for years, but it took me a long time to really get it, where I saw the differences. And I started realizing that there's always something to be comparing yourself to and with, which makes you feel depressed or down or sad or incomplete. And when you switch that and you start focusing on all the blessings you have in your life and all the good there is, even though there are challenges going on, there is so much good that is in your life. It lifts your spirits and it changes your perspective, and you realize that this is a choice. Every moment of every day we have a choice about how we're going to think. And when we choose to think in a way that's productive for us, first of all, we're role modeling positive behaviors for our kids, and there's nothing to me more important than that. But we're also giving ourselves a boost in our spirits, making and allowing us to get through the day much more easily.
Absolutely. So no matter what's going on in your life, you say, okay, I understand this is a challenging situation. What's something good happening here that I could focus on? Or I could say, well, you know, this has happened, but this is something good here or something I can focus on. It's a good thing I didn't do this, so I'm grateful for that because of it. You know, you can just play that those situations in your head. And it's, once again, it's a skill and it's a habit. And it's breaking that old habit of focusing on the negative and starting a good habit that you're focusing on what's working well.
And I just want to reinforce what you just said, because, again, we hear those words so often, but to understand that something is a skill or a habit means that we have a choice. We can choose to envelop that and own it, learn, get some coaching about it, and do it. It doesn't come naturally overnight, and you may fail a few times, but if you work on it and put your attention in that direction, eventually you own it, and it's the way you live your life, and it makes your entire life better. So getting into the mindset of, I had no choice, I had to be depressed, this was a terrible situation. We have a choice at every minute about how we feel, how we choose to feel. And that's empowering. That's liberating, because we can make an inner shift. We can reframe. We can look at things differently if we choose to. And when we do, everything shifts for us and life takes on new directions.
You know, Roz, it actually takes 21 days to break an old habit or to create a new one. And I always say to friends or relatives or clients, you know, give yourself a break. There will be days that you'll go back to the old habits, and that's okay. That's going to happen. Give yourself a break. But as long as you're conscious of it, to say, you know, I blew that one. I didn't do a very good job today. I didn't focus. I went back to my old habits. That's okay. You recognized it. Now move on. Start fresh the next day. Don't beat yourself up about it. You have 21 days to break an old habit. Plus, if you've been focusing on the negative and everything going wrong in your life for years, it takes time to break that habit.
Oh, definitely. And I think that that's very good advice. We have to remember to be gentle with ourselves and loving with ourselves. We can't behave that way with our children if we're not treating ourselves that way. So if we're beating ourselves up and not giving ourselves a break for making mistakes or not accomplishing things we want to do, that's not good for us, and it's not good behavior to role model for our kids. So we really need to be gentle, be supportive, treat yourself like you treat a good friend. We're much more tolerant of our friends.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh, we are.
Yeah, we're more understanding, we're more compassionate, we're more forgiving. Sometimes we'll beat ourselves up for years over something, and we would have forgiven a friend. So treat yourself like your very best friend, because the ramifications are wide and broad and will really make a positive difference in your life.
That's a great segue into tip number three, which is to take care of yourself. That includes, as you said, be kind to yourself, treat yourself as you would a friend. Also, I think of eating healthy, getting enough sleep. I know myself, if I haven't had enough sleep, the world, I just see the world differently than if I'm well rested.
Well, I know that there are many medical studies that validate that, that sleep is being shown to be one of the most important components of life. And unfortunately, when we're going through challenging situations such as
a
divorce, it's particularly hard. There may be periods when you're just not sleeping. Again, you're worried, you're aggravated, you're stressed out about something, there's anxiety, and all of those are counterproductive to sleep. So you need some support systems, some aids and resources to turn to, because we do have to nurture our body, and soul, and honor ourselves and take good care of ourselves, because we are all we have, and we can't be there for the rest of our families and those who love us if we're not taking care of ourselves.
Absolutely. I just went on to visit to see my dad, and we're on the airplane. First thing, in fact, the flight attendant came up to my daughter with her little boy in her lap, and he said, "Okay, you have the mask. Whose mask goes on first?" I mean, just instantly, you know, automatically said that to her. You know, so that's a good reminder. We hear that a lot. I always like to stress to people to consciously take 10 minutes a day for yourself to recharge your batteries. I always say recharge your batteries so that you can be the best you can be. It also keeps your energy tank filled. It's almost, think of it as driving a car. If your car didn't have any gas, you couldn't go anywhere. If your energy tank is on empty, how can you be the best you can be? Pretty tough. So it's, think of your gas tank and mentally ask yourself, okay, I'm feeling grouchy, or I'm snapping at people, or I just can't make very good decisions right now. I think my energy tank is empty. So at that point, consciously think, okay, if I can grab 10 minutes somewhere, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon at work, but just take 10 minutes and do it without guilt to know that you deserve it. So that's a little tip I threw in there, Roz.
Well, it's certainly a good one. And for some people, that would be a form of meditation where you're quieting the mind. For other people, it may be a form of prayer where you're asking for help and support when you're feeling overwhelmed and not capable of handling everything in life. And for other people, it may be a process of focusing on what you're grateful for, just looking at the world around you and realizing that so many people have so many more challenges that you have. No matter what's going on, there's always another story, and that there's a lot of good and blessings in our lives. And when you focus on blessings, as we said earlier, it just lifts your spirits. So whatever form you take, and for some people it's a physical meditation. It's taking a walk or taking a bath or doing something where you're just singing or dancing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's indulging yourself for just that short period of time to honor yourself and acknowledge that I do count, and I have to love me and honor me before I can love and honor everyone around me. And there's a lot of responsibility when you're going through challenging times, so you need it even more than ever.
I think so too. For me, what works is that I just go out to the garden. Nature tends to bring me in or helps me focus on the now, or just to let things go. Nature, or change my scenery. I know even people at work that I've talked with said they just try to get up out of their chair, or if whether it's at home with your kids or anyone, you know, change your scenery if you have to. Get outside and use all your senses, whether you are smelling the air or I remember one client said, oh, I'm out on my deck and I can smell the grass that was just cut. I can smell the spring flowers. I can feel the warmth of the sunshine on my face. I see the blue sky. I hear the birds. And you could hear her tension, or just the tone in her voice just drop. And so probably if physically if I saw her, I would probably see her shoulders also that would have dropped. You could just sense it. So that's another good thing. It's get out into nature, change your scenery. I do that one a lot.
I love the nature thing too. There's just something about being in nature, and petting an animal. There's something very gratifying about if you happen to love animals and have a pet in the house. They just do wonders. I think that's some of the best therapy for me is being with my pets, and you just can totally unwind and feel that unconditional love connection, and it's very, very gratifying. So everything that we're talking about all comes down to the self-love equation. And sometimes we don't understand or have time in our lives to focus that much on the value of honoring yourself. But when you're going through particularly difficult situations, that's when you really understand the importance of doing that, because you may be drained. You may be really at the bottom of your energy level at some times. And if you find that there's an empty space in your heart and in your soul, and you can't fill it with you, then you're more likely to try to fill it with something else that isn't going to work. Finding another person who isn't really appropriate in your life, drugs, alcohol, other habits and behaviors that are going to be detrimental and set you down in a road that's not going to be fulfilling. We all have empty holes in our hearts and souls from time to time in life, because life can be challenging. And this is the time more than ever that you really need to find that your own love, and then love if you have a connection with spirituality and a higher purpose and a higher being, any of those things that make you feel that you belong, that you're important, and that your life matters. All of that is going to support you and reinforce you. And if you haven't tried any of these things that we've been talking about, it's never too late. Now's a wonderful time to get started in those directions. And we're both coaches. We can help you in any of these regards. It's just a matter of saying, I'm open to trying something new that'll add value to my life and make me enjoy being with me. Because loving who you are is the key to being able to enjoy everything else that life has to offer you.
Absolutely. I say that we deserve that time. That's why I even suggest to people, just start with 10 minutes. Don't make it complicated. Make it simple. I had one lady said, okay, I'll do yoga. And then she said, well, I need to go buy the outfit. I need the mat. And I said, no, just sit down and breathe. Said, keep it simple. You know? So let's review the tips today of how to learn to laugh and laugh after divorce, or keep on laughing and loving even after divorce. So number one, we actually said to learn to let go, be silly, have fun, learn to set intentions.
Yes.
And then the second one was to make sure that you're focusing on what's working, not the negative things, but the positive things. And really focus on what you're grateful for. And number three is to make sure you take good care of yourself, whether it's taking eating well, napping, or taking 10 minutes just for you.
Those are sound principles that will be rewarding for us in all phases of our lives, no matter what's going on. But it's particularly valuable when you're dealing with the kinds of challenges that divorce brings, that parenting after divorce brings, that looking for a new relationship down the road after divorce brings, all of those things. And it's good to be armed with those tools, because that's what they are. They're tools, they're resources, and they're ways of not feeling disempowered, ways of feeling stronger within yourself and not overwhelmed by life. I think one of the biggest problems that we have in our crazy culture today is that people are walking around filled with anxiety and feeling weak and disempowered, and they don't know where to turn, and they don't realize that a huge piece of that puzzle is to go within, find the strength within, find the power within, find the tools and the resources. You just feel like you're better able to cope with whatever is going on, and that it's not outside of you. It's
absolutely
from within you. And that's the good news, because regardless of what your challenge is, there's strength and resources within you. When you feel disempowered and powerless, and you feel it's all outside of you, then of course you're going to be down and depressed and helpless, and you feel very small and weak and insignificant. So what we're talking about are ways to lighten the load, but at the same time feeling stronger and knowing that these are things that you can teach yourself, that you can attain, and choices that you can make every moment of the day. And when I got that as an adult, and I wished I had understood it as a child and was taught that, once I got that, it changed my whole life, because it gave me the ability to say, I have some power and control over my life. Life is crazy, and things happen all the time that are out of my control. But I have control over my attitude, and that changed everything.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if, because both of us are saying we only wish we knew when we were younger. So if you have these tools now, you can be the role model, and you can share them and have your children learn them as well. And that's the beauty, because these tools are designed to help you now, but also will definitely help your children. Something that's so easy, I find, when I'm feeling stressed or something like that, I really tune in. In fact, we talked about it last week about your thoughts, but just think about what's really going on. Be conscious to say, am I disempowering, just like you said, am I disempowering myself right now, or am I empowering myself? So that's a real simple question to ask, and that kind of, that helps you tune in to what you're thinking and what's going on emotionally. Okay, I'm disempowering myself right now. How can I empower myself? And that helps you be more conscious.
I love that question, and I think it's a great takeaway for everyone who's listening.
Absolutely. So, Roz, what's the website everyone should go to if they want to listen to this again?
It's divorceview.com, real simple, divorceview.com. And not only can they listen to this, but they can listen to previous shows. So there's lots to learn, and there's many guests ahead.
Absolutely. We have some great guests. In fact, next week we have an attorney who's really into helping parents with co-parenting, which is unusual because usually attorneys are not focusing on that. So I'm excited to have our special guest on that. Also, when you're on the divorceview.com, check out all the resources that Roz has and that I have to support you, that we have together, and we're there to help you move your life forward. So, Roz, it's always a joy, and hopefully our listeners picked up some tips and wrote some things down, but it's always a joy to share this time together.
Absolutely, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Absolutely, me too, and once again, go to divorceview.com. Until then, have a great week. We'll see you then.
Bye.